Blog Talk Radio.
Paranormal Ascension. I'm your host, Matthew Bueno. I apologize for that delay time on that. That was Uncle Red Hog Charlie Tom. He was a medicine man up here in Mount Shasta. He crossed over maybe about 4 years ago. So his songs and his medicine still ring around in the area of Mount Shasta weed in Northern California. So I like hearing his music because it really, really brings out what we're trying to hear, what we're trying to do here today. And it's really important to really remember our elders and remember that people have crossed down and passed over their medicine to us who are still individuals learning this way of life. So I'd like to say welcome back again. And I'm here with my co-host, Robin Alexis. Robin, say hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me with you, Matthew. And I do want to let you know that our beloved Marilyn Monroe is also here in her beauty to assist us in the show. I also want to share with people that as you're experiencing Matthew and I, that if you become interested in the work that we do, you may have a personal one-on-one phone session with either Matthew or myself. Matthew, God bless his soul, is running a special right now. So that is certainly something to take advantage of if you are called to have a session with Matthew. It's $55 off. He's running that special until December 24th at midnight is the last time that you can call. The number you call to schedule that is 530-859-2499. Again, that's 530-859-2499. You will be speaking with Bob. He handles scheduling appointments for Matthew and I. And also, Matthew and I founded the Mystic Radio Institute Metaphysical School this year, and we're starting the next Level 1 series in 2017 on February 2nd. That is a Thursday night. Those classes will run consecutively for 8 weeks on that Thursday night. And it always starts at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Coast time. We keep our classes small so that we can give individual attention. And we have 2 spots left for that class. So if you are interested at all, we highly encourage you. For that one, you go to robinalexis.com and you click on the Mystic Store. and you'll see Mystic Radio Institute Level 1 class, and you can sign up for it there. And also, Matthew and I can often be found on Wednesdays at Mystic Radio with Rob and Alexis. That show is on KKNW, Alternative Talk Radio, 1150 AM out of Seattle, Washington. And that show starts at noon Pacific Coast time. That is a live call-in show where you can speak to either Matthew or myself, or occasionally both of us at the same time, and receive live on-air readings. The Paranormal Ascension show that we do together on Sundays at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Coast time. Today is going to be a very interesting show coming up for you. And then we will be taking the next two Sundays, Christmas and New Year's off. Happy holidays to everyone. And then we will return in 2017 January 8th. That is scheduled to go back to speaking about the cold case with Maura Murray. And if you know of anyone who knows her, her family members or friends, please remind them that Maura does want to speak to them on that show. And then on January 15th, we will be doing tree communication for a variety of reasons. So if you've ever either talked to a tree or wanted to talk to a tree, or you were a tree, you love trees, you're going to want to come to that show too. So that's it for today from me for right now. Now I'm going to move into holding energy for the events of today.
Okay, so thank you, Robin, for that beautiful introduction. And, you know, just to let you know, Robin, she holds me in high regard, and so I hold her in high regard as well. Robin also channels the Lady of Mount Shasta and Marilyn Monroe, and chants and sings and prays during our classes. So when she's holding space in our classes, it's really dynamic because our chemistry together is just on the money. You know, we just really learn together to just go with the flow and let things ring out instead of trying to control the situation. We just let spirit and energy, the harmony of the spirit, to come through and really allow people to learn at their own pace rather than forcing things down their throat. You know, we like to be able to create a space for our students to be able to feel, you know, the changes in their body and the changes in their perception, and to become more aware about what they carry as individuals. And so this is the work of the Ascended Masters and some of the ancestry that we've been working with over the years. You know, I have over 35 years experience working with the spirits and the masters, and I've been working as a metaphysical healer, as a teacher since 1989, and with my late teacher, Brother Anthony Panera, who crossed over maybe about 76 years ago. So we're happy to hear today. We have a special guest here today. We have Jack Kenna from Paranormal Survivor and Haunted Case Files on Destination America. And Jack is knows Robin. But really quick, I just wanted to just clear up real quick how I met Robin and how we started working together, just briefly. And you know, the story goes, I was working at a spa here in Mount Shasta. I opened up a spa and created a spa in 2005, and I had a spa here called Sacred Mountain Spa. The original name for that was Tahawakan, which is Sacred Mountain, but I knew that a lot of the patronage and the clients probably couldn't pronounce that or remember that. So Sacred Mountain Spa was the name for a spa down here in Mount Shasta, California, and so it moved to different buildings across in Mount Shasta. And it ended up over here by Siskiyou Lake down the road. And I was working there as a massage therapist. And I saw these two cute little people come in. You know, one guy had gray hair and big old, you know, bottle glasses, those real thick lenses. And the other gal came in, and she was just smiling and happy. And I was like, wow, something's wrong with these people. And they're just so happy to be here. And they haven't even got massage yet. So, you know, I was chosen to sit with Robin. And little did I know, it was her. And so I started working on her feet, you know, doing reflexology. And then I heard a voice come into my head, and I said, hey, tell her that, you know, that she has issues with her mom. And I said, well, no, I can't say that. That's blood. And I, you know, I'm in the spa. I can't be talking to people like that in the spa. People are going to trip out. And they just do it. I said, okay. Can I tell you something? I said, and she says, yeah. So I told her about her mom, and then she says, well, what can you do about it? And I said, well, this is what I can do about it. So we started running energy in her feet, and then she started giggling in the chair, and she says, I think I want him for my massage therapist. And so they switched, and, you know, so we had this just really gentle introduction, because spirits know that I'm super shy, and I don't like to always introduce myself right away, you know, as a healer or a metaphysical healer and seer. So, you know, that was the way it started out, you know, and we just kind of started working together. And then she took my cosmic coaching course, and we were able to help her extend her mind and energy and experience into a lot wider energy field, so she can start seeing things from her galactic connections and be able to work with the higher frequencies of angels and teachers throughout her own personal universe. So that's how it came to be, you know, and it was just a real quick introduction. And then last year I talked to Bob, and I said, hey, you know, I'm really interested in about your marketing. And so we just started working together that way. And, you know, it's been amazing to work with these two individuals. Bob is a brilliant businessman who knows his stuff, you know, and I feel really comfortable when I'm working with him on the radio. You know, he has my back, you know, and he feels someone, you know, trying to test me on the radio, and or that people are like taking up time. He just cuts them off and says, all right, that's good. Let's go to the next caller. And I like that. I appreciate that about Bob, you know, and he's just really, really down to earth. He's from New Jersey. So, you know, he has that oomph, that energy behind his voice. So I'm really happy to be working with both Robin and Bob Bordonaro. So thank you again for coming to the show. And we just want you to recognize and have an open mind. Some of the things that we say on here could be sounding like we're speaking to you in Japanese or Chinese, you know, or unless you're Japanese or Chinese. But, you know, it could be foreign to you to understand where we're coming from. So, you know, again, I'm going to give you my email address, which is bearmedicinemassage@gmail.com. And at any time, if there's something that we say on here that is so far-fetched or just, you know, it wasn't explained the way you need to know it, you know, email me. Ask me questions. I'd be happy to tell you what this lingo is, you know, and how we come about, you know, knowing this stuff. And I can give you a lot more information, or you can go to my website. Go to ascendedmasterangels.com, and you can read a little bit about me and some of my experiences working with spirit, as well as some of the channel messages from the angels. And I also have in there something really important is I have a grounding cord technique that is in audio, the audio version. So you can hear my voice, and I can talk you into doing that, because that's really important. You know, when you have a grounding energy, when you're focused on doing things in your life, it allows you to be more of an effective person, you know, and not just wishy-washy. You're more focused on what you're doing, and the outcome could be a lot better for you. Doesn't matter if it's in business and personal life, some of your relationships, you know, and whatever you decide to do, you know, grounding is super important. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and bring Jack Kenna on and let him introduce himself. Hey, Jack, are you there?
Yes, hey. Matthew,
hi, Jack.
Hey, welcome to our show, Jack. It's great to have
you. Thank
you.
Well, no, thank you for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
Do you want to give you a little bit of your background?
Oh, yeah, well, sure, yeah, why not? Anyway, I think you did a good job, pretty much, but, you know, I've been listening, so I'm, you know, it's Jack Kenna, and I'm with, the team I'm with is Spirits of New England out of Winthrop, Massachusetts, up near Boston. Before I ever got into television, we've been, you know, our team and I have been doing a lot of different paranormal investigation stuff, doing it for quite a few years now. We delve a lot into working with clients, and that's just people who are experiencing or believe they are experiencing hauntings. They need help. You know, they're trying to figure out what's going on. The typical, am I crazy or is this real, you know, type of thing. So
right.
we do a lot of work with that. We also do a lot of historical places. So we check out different places, usually, you know, places that ask us to or places we ask if we can get into. And we've done a lot of stuff in a lot of places that really nobody else has done before. We don't go to the typical, you know, everybody goes to, you know, all the different locations or whatever you see on TV. We try to stay away from that and do stuff that is going to help people, you know, or they need help or they just want some answers. Mm. So that's mostly what we do. People say, "Well, yeah, but you're on TV." Well, yeah, we kind of fell into that totally by accident. You know, I mean, I made a phone call. We received an email. We get emails all the time. A lot of us, different groups do. We get emails about, "Oh, new show. We want looking for people." Blah blah blah. And it was one of those emails, but this particular one, this was about almost 3 years ago now. It just seemed a little bit different. So I looked up their website. They had all that information, and I'm like, gee, it actually seemed legit. I talked to our founder, Ellen McNeil, and I said, "What do you think? You want me to give him a call?" She goes, "That's pretty garbage, but if you want to call him, go ahead." So, well, it's usually how we approach it. Usually they seem like it's just garbage, you know, it's just junk, whatever. You know, but I called the people up at the company is Our House Media that does all the filming, produces the shows for Destination America and the Travel and Escapes channel in Canada. And I ended up talking to the woman for 2 hours, and she answered all the questions I had at the time. She asked me questions. We had a nice conversation. And then, of course, she asked, "Well, do you have any cases you might think, you know, you'd like to have?" I said, "Well, I got two clients. We just had to help them out with a case. They were a younger couple." I said, "I'll ask them and see what they think." You know, it was totally always up to the clients, too. When you see the shows and the stuff we do, you know, we always leave it up to our clients. Do you want to be on the show? Do you want us to talk about this? Don't you want it to? You know, it's up to them. So they wanted to. A younger couple, of course, they wanted to anyway. But they did want to share their experience and what they went through with other people. And that was good. You know, so it went really well. And then the next day, I know we're doing season two. And then Haunted Case Files comes along. So that's how I got on the show. People always think, "Oh, you're on TV. You must make a lot of money." No, you don't. You know, half those shows I do, I don't even get paid for it. You know, they pay my way or something like that, but they don't get paid for it, you know, which is kind of cool because I see it as a way to get information out to people, let them know, hey, try to let people know this stuff is just not always TV stuff. It's people go through real things and there is real help out there. So, you know, we're here for you. And because of that, I've been contacted by more people looking for assistance, and you weed them out a little bit. But that's why I think we're here tonight. We have really two cases that, you know, I'm looking for your help with. So that's kind of where we're at. That's why we're here. And it's because of those shows these people contacted me. So there we have it. I guess that kind of explains it.
Yeah, that's good, you know, and I really appreciate that you say that, you know, that you're there just to help people. You know,
yeah.
That is one of the biggest things that I've come across when I'm working with, you know, helping spirits go home and working with suicides, you know, and I've had some pretty interesting stories just from when I traveled different parts of the United States, like New York. You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of history there, and there's a lot of different angles about how these spirits came to be.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's amazing to me about, you know, just people's presentation about, you know, what spirits are doing in their home and how they react to their presence, you know. And the first thing, you know, is, of course, is fear, you know. And by having fear, you know, the spirits, you know, they can either feed into that. And depending on where they come from, how they died, you know, what kind of trauma they were in when they crossed over, you know, and, you know, and it's, I think for me, it's more important that the people who have the haunting going on, they know of that story. That way they can have compassion for that spirit that is stuck between worlds. And then if both people can have compassion for that spirit, you know, then it's easier to work with them because they can meet that spirit halfway, you know, because there's always some kind of conflict. When someone, it's like, you know, you walk into a classroom and you're like in your teenage years and you got all your pimples and all that stuff happening, you know, when you're growing up and kids are looking at you going, ew, you know, that feeling like feeling ashamed or feeling, you know, gross or feeling ugly, you know, that's how spirits feel sometimes when people are super afraid of them. They don't know what to make of them, and so they react that way. So, and that energy builds into all their already fear-based, you know, reason why they're in between worlds. So I think it's awesome that you educate people that way about saying that this is more for people to feel, you know, healed or feel or have an understanding about why these spirits are there.
I'll sum that up for you a little bit more by saying I think most hauntings are misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
Most spirits
yeah.
are misunderstood. Everybody's got mm-hmm. this impression in their head of the Hollywood version of everything's demonic, everything's evil, and it's not. And it can come across that way just because of people, just like people. We misunderstand things. We don't always connect with what somebody's real meaning is, and we take it the wrong way sometimes. And I think it's the same thing with spirits and hauntings. So not in every case, but in many cases.
Yeah. Yeah, my mother-in-law, they lived over in Eureka, Arcata area, and up here by the Oregon border up here. And I went over there, and they scared the little boy. His name is Thunder, and he's in a wheelchair, and he can't eat regular food. They have to feed him through a feeding tube. But this kid is super, super spiritual, and he's I believe he's a Modoc Indian. Or one hoop, or one of the two, and he's just very enlightened. This young man, just by looking into his eyes, you can see the energy he has in his body, and so him and her attract a lot of spirits to their family, not meaning to, but just that spirits see him as the light, and when they're confused between worlds, sometimes they go to this child. So this one time, you know, I went over there and she says, "Well, we have visitors here." I said, "What do you mean?" She says, "Well, there's always somebody walking across, you know, the roof, or you could hear them walking in the attic." Oh, really? So I went over there and I took my chanupa and my pipe, my Native American chanupa is a tool that we use to connect the spirit. So I went over there and I made some ties and prayed in one of the rooms where, you know, we felt the energy. That night, my mother-in-law, she always wears this pink robe. And these pink glasses. And I was walking down the hallway to go to the bathroom about 3 in the morning, and Tony, who's autistic, he lives, you know, he has a side hallway down to his bedroom. And I looked over there, and I saw this woman standing above him, knocking on the wall. And I said, "Mom, is that you?" And she looked at me, but there was no face. I just saw the hair and the pink robe. And Tony, he's sleeping, and she's standing right above him, and so I'm thinking, what is she doing? Is she hanging a picture or something? You know, this late, you know. So I go to the bathroom, I come back out, and she's still there, and she's still looking in my direction and knocking on the wall. I said, "Well, all right, well, you know, I guess this must be their family thing. I don't know what this is, you know." So I'm walking down, and then I look over, and I see my mom laying on the couch. I said, "Oh. That's a spirit." So the next day I asked Tony, I said, "Hey, did you hear any knocking last night?" He says, "Yeah, it kept me up all night, and then it would knock on the window, and I would go to the window, and I would open up the window, and there would be nobody there." So, you know, so we did a ceremony for them, and, you know, we were able to help them, those spirits go, you know. And you know what really, really is cool about them is that this, because of the history of that place, of that house, is that a lot of times there is a story about how this woman came to be in that home and how she ended up, by being there, you know. And when I talked to her, she said that she was a dancer and she liked to try on different clothes. And, you know, it amazes me still about that paranormal dimension that you can have that connection with, because when clearing any kind of home, you got to be in that same dimension in order to be able to clear that dimension. You can't be in the third dimensional world, or you can, but it's kind of difficult that way. You know, when you're in the third dimensional world, and you can look into that world, but you can't really do anything about it because it's like looking at a movie. But if you're in that dimension itself with the masters, with the energies, and with the songs and the medicine, you can create a portal for those energies to go home. And in a way that is not only biblical, but is very, very satisfying and energetic to the people who are still alive and living there. They can actually feel that energy just lift off of that house, and the heaviness and the darkness and the coldness just leaves with it. So,
So, and, you know, I've noticed, I can, you know, when I'm doing it, I can feel it happening, you know. So it's, you can feel that energy going, you know. And that's satisfying that you're doing that. You're helping people. It's important, you know, and it's And it's helping the spirits too. You know, you're not just helping the people, you're helping the spirits too. So it's it's a good feeling. It always is, you know.
Yeah, you know, and I see it more as an investment for myself, you know, investment of, you know, when I cross over. You know, I want to keep learning this. This is my my adopted dad, his name is Matuapia, which is bear doctor. And he's my adopted dad from South Dakota. And he's a what they call a Uipi man. And Uipi men have the ability to speak to spirits from the, on the other side, you know, and they have this pretty amazing ceremony that you attend, and the spirits come in, and they'll talk to you, they'll hit you on the head with rocks, or they'll spit in, not spit, but blow water in your face, and wipe you down with a fan. So, you know, that energy is just, it's so beautiful, you know, to be able to be in that, participate in that energy, and it also works in our behalf, because now I can ask them to come in and help me with these energies, so nothing's really ever too big. Until today, and I was looking at some of your case files, and I saw the one in Montana, and I said, holy smoke. So, of course, I couldn't contain myself. I already started working there. If you'd like, I'd like to tell you a little bit about what I found.
Well,
go ahead, Robin. I'm just
Well,
saying
I think it's really it's really important for the listeners that Jack explain the case. I mean, we got some files, but to just go right into it. And also, Matthew, as you were speaking, there were more and more and more spirits gathering. So I just want to be clear that we set an intention to serve particular spirits today. And that we appreciate that they're coming in. We see them, we hear them, we acknowledge them. But that's better. I can feel them stepping back a little bit.
Well, because I get excited and they get in my corner, and I apologize.
So I had to bring you back and let you guys focus on what we've
all
got
right.
going
yep.
today.
Thank you, Robin.
So,
it became just me and Matthew show there for a minute. We didn't forget it was even a show. So
that's why I jumped in. I find this very interesting, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit just to calm the energy down. The way that I met Jack, I haven't actually met Jack, but I met him through contact, is through my son, who is an engineer for GE. He's the global engineer for GE, and he is not into the paranormal. He's very left-brained. And so, you know, he has a bit of a challenge with his mom being in the occupation that she is. But then through his journey of his life, he ended up meeting Jack. And I think just connecting in with a fishing camp story here for a moment, it will ground the energy. So Jack, can you talk a little bit about how you met Mike and how what you guys have coming up to do together?
I mean, I actually met Mike through our mutual friend, John Atchison. You want to talk about, it can get really, you know, you see how things connect.
Exactly.
I met through John Atchison, I'm in engineering myself. I'm not an engineer, I'm a technician, but I work in engineering for the Department of Defense. But I met John Atchison at the place where I work when I first came in as a young 20-some-year-old technician. And John Atchison was, and it turned out John Atchison knew my father and my mother and my stepsister. I mean, this goes back a ways, you know. It's like, what were the chances? I'd meet this guy who's working at Waterbury Arsenal, and he knew my family, and I had never met him, but he knew, you know, about my stepsister and stepbrother and all this stuff. So anyways, so then I started, you know, we all hunt and fish and stuff like that, and then I met Mike at John's. I think the first time I met Mike was up at John's house. We were all going out hunting on John's property. So I think it's the first time I met him, and then we went, I think, fishing to Canada a few times, or a couple times at least, anyway. So I knew him through John, and I got to be honest, I don't know Mike really well, but I've met him a few times, and we've hunted together, and we've fished together. And then it's come to the point in life where John and I, and we have this fishing camp up in Quebec, and it was just time to kind of let it go, and Mike was very interested in it, so we just finished transferring that all over to Mike, and because of that, John got talking to Mike and, you know, got talking about me because my name was on the lease. I had to sign it over, which is no big deal. And he got talking to Mike about, John, they call me John, but my nickname is Jack. They said, Jack does all this other stuff now, and he's into the paranormal. And that's when Mike told John, he goes, geez, my mother does that stuff. So, so he started asking about me doing that, and he goes, well, maybe you'd like to talk to my mother sometime. And I think we emailed or something, and then, it got in the mix there. And that's how the world works, I guess, you know.
Yeah, and
you know,
so here,
people
here
through
we
people
are.
Through, you know, and here we are.
That is so beautiful, and that really did ground, as Matthew was talking about earlier, how important it is to ground. It brought the energy back down to kind of focusing on the, that's much better. Now, I'm starting to receive some sort of energy here. I'm not sure if it's from the lady of Mount Shasta. I just want to be open to this.
Yeah.
And she's saying that, indeed, it is she. And she is bringing in more of what we call our grounding energy. She's bringing in the energy of the mountain. She says that what we are opening up to is very big and has very big repercussions. It has very big ripple effect. That whatever this issue is in this first case, that this is kind of a surrogate healing, that there's pockets of this type of frequency throughout the globe, and that it contributes to the hold that the fourth dimension has, or that which is collective consciousness ruled by the lower vibration instead of the fifth dimension, where collective consciousness is ruled by the highest state of consciousness. And so she just wants us to kind of get our seatbelts on, our psychic seatbelts on. And she says there's a huge emotional charge here on the energy. And so I want to acknowledge that there's, a lot of spirits showing up here. And I can feel the energy of Mother Earth herself, not just the mountain now, and Lady Shasta stepping back. And she's asking me to call in the frequency of sweet chestnut. And she says that what this is, it will work with the sensory system for any...
Robin?
I'm still here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay.
I can see her number. Oh, okay, let's see what happened here.
Maybe she's at the one.
Robin?
Are you here? Am I here?
Did you zap yourself out?
You're back.
No, well, I may have gone into
somebody
another
dimension.
Somebody
was trying to quiet you up, that's all.
But, so I was just bringing in the energy of sweet chestnut then the Star of Bethlehem to release the stress, the shock of the – there we go. Now the energy is really moving. And let's call in the vibration of the flower essence willow and just release all of the adversity that all of the spirits have suffered, the planet has suffered. There we go. The energy is moving now. Okay, now I feel like it's safe to proceed. So, Matthew, I'm going to go back to you and Jack so you two can explain what we're working on and then open up with the information after that.
Okay.
Well, I think I want to just, ask Jack first. I mean,
okay.
I don't want to just put you out in front street, Jack, anything about stuff, just let me know if this is okay or not, or, you want to just kind of explain a little bit about what the situation.
You want me to give a little background on the case?
Yes, please.
So this is, you're talking about the one in Montana, correct? Or Missouri,
I should say.
It's not Montana. It's
Missouri.
Missouri. Okay. Yeah. All right. So this particular case, this woman from Benton, Missouri, contacted me, saw me on one of the shows, and just contacted me and said, I'm having activity going on. And I've had one team out here, and they really couldn't do anything for me. And, it starts with her talking. She started talking to me about what happened, and I'm like, tell me what's going on. So when she moved into this home 6 years ago, some really bad things started to happen. She had experiences before that. She had stuff going on with paranormal before that, other places she lived. But it was actually her and her husband first moved into the home. They were there for a short period of time. She started hearing voices within the house. Her husband were here then too, and there was nobody there. And they're in a rural area. They're not where there's, you know, a lot of people right around them or anything either. So it's kind of odd. And then her husband got cancer, and he died. And that was about a year and a half after moving into the home. After he died, she started to get probably depressed. I'm sure it was part of it, but she started to just not feel right and would sleep all the time. And she'd wake up and not remember different things going on. She'd find stuff around, moved around the house, but didn't remember doing it. And it got to the point where she disappeared for a few days where her daughter had a break into the house. Her daughter just lives down the road from her. And help her mother, and she had to call ambulance, and they found blood in different places. She didn't remember anything. She almost died. They brought her to the hospital. So all these bad things were going on. And then she continues to not be able to sleep. Whatever it is she believes is there keeps her up at night. It makes noises, bangs. Recently it started, you know, talking in her ear, you know, keeping her, waking her up at night that way, tell what it says, but she can hear it. It sounds like a male voice. So there's a lot of different things, and there's even a lot more than that having to do with her cousin, and he just recently, him and another guy, murdered someone. But he also, when he was younger, he was in a bad place. He had a very bad accident. This guy died. And the weird name with all those is, the thing is, her cousin's name, first name is Bob. I'll just say Bob. It's not his real name, but the guy who died in the car accident with him, his name was Bob. And then this other guy he recently murdered, this guy's name was Bob. Now, again, that's not the real name, but they all have the same name. And he went through some really bad stuff, had some negativity. And it just seems to me something really weird is going on. There's much more to it than that, but that's kind of just, she's having this really bad activity. I did contact another team to go and help her. They went in, they investigated, they had some problems too in fighting with each other, just like the other team had. They did collect evidence, and they did have some interesting things happen that they shared with me. They had promised they were going to go back and try to help her, but they never came back, and they never called her again. So,
wow.
You know, and I don't know why that is. I can't speak for other teams. They did a nice job with going in and investigating. They did the best they could. But the client was saying they were having problems. They had forgotten stuff. One of them got sick on the way. The one of them had car problems. And then when they got there, they forgot stuff, and they were starting to argue with each other, and they did calm down. But then, you know, they just never came back. So what I told her was, look, in this particular case, if something's telling me I need to go out there and try to help with this case, just try to do what I know I can do. But there's something else going on there. There is a Ouija board somewhat involved that she did not use, but somebody else had used, another cousin had used in the home. So, but it goes even further back than that. There's her grandmother, who they used to live with early on, had a woman next door. They say next door, they're out in the rural area, but she pretty much lived next door. And her grandmother had a lot of problems with the other woman that they considered the witch in town. Everybody go to her for readings and spells and all this stuff. And she knows her grandmother had some kind of spell cast on her. She was there when it happened by this woman. So we don't know. She doesn't know what that was. She was a little kid at the time. She was like 6 or 7 years old at the time, so she remembers it but doesn't remember really what was said or done specifically. But, you know, her grandmother was more of a spiritual person than, you know, like, you know, Catholic or anything like that. I think they were Catholic, but she was more of like, I think more like a Wicca, really, type of individual. But that's the case. But there seems to be something else, something very dark that's involved with this particular one that I'm not sure exactly what it is. I haven't called it yet, but I'm trying to help her remotely for the moment so I can get out there to really help her. So that's what we're at. I sent you the information. Now, what are your thoughts, Matt and Robin?
Okay, well, first off, what have you done so far?
The only things I've done so far, two suggestions I made to her from my perspective of things, because I can't be there. I did purchase for her two things, a a white sage kit, which included the abalone shell, bowl stand, and the white sage. And I told her, I said, I'm not going to tell you sage your home, but I said, because especially just in her bedroom where she has trouble sleeping at night, I said, just try to burn it like an incense. It will still help clear out some of the negative energy around there. I said, and don't burn a lot of it, just burn a little bit, you know, at night before you go to bed. We'll see what happens. I said, if something does happen in that room, you hear bangs or something, so do it when you're not in there. But if you hear noises from there, don't be surprised and don't go in. Let it finish. Leave it for a little bit and then go in. Which she did, and she did have something go on. The other thing I just recently sent her was what we call a banishing candle, which there's a spell attached to that. And I said, you know, burn it every night for an hour each night while you're just sitting around, whatever. I said, but think about what you want, the negativity you want removed from your house, and ask for that. You know, so those are the only two things I've really done besides just talk to her and try to answer some questions that she's had at this point.
Okay, those are good suggestions. Okay, so I'm very clairvoyant when it comes to these types of things, and sometimes, you know, like one of the things I teach my students is that sometimes all you have to hear is the voice. All you have to know is the address or the description of the place where it's at. You know, I don't need an address. I follow the vibration or the frequency of where you're talking from. And sometimes when you're visualizing by talking about what you said to her, we can travel through you to her, to the house, you know, and that's how it works, you know. So when I first, my initiative today, I was, you know, running around trying to clean the house, getting ready for clients and so forth. And so I sat down and I was looking at, you know, the email that Robin sent me, and I was looking at it and I was going over it. And as soon as I saw it, I had a vision. The first thing I saw was this woman with her back towards me, and she had really long black hair hanging down, and it was a dimension. It was a dimensional vision, and she was standing next to a tree that was like almost reddish yellow, like it was dead, and then the whole scene was like reddish orange, like she was in a different dimension. And so I felt it, and it was almost like I tapped on her shoulder, but I didn't mean to. But it just, you know, it just, I looked, and when I saw it, she instantly connected to me because I know that she felt our presence. So the first thing I did was that when I saw it, I pulled myself back because I wasn't prepared to just go in and start helping. But, you know, it happens like that sometimes. So I got to remember, and that was a good lesson for me, to always be on my toes, always be aware, to always be protected. Because, you know, I didn't know what, you know, what I was up against with this. And so when I felt that happen, I felt her come in. And so Archangel Michael came in and pushed her back. And then we encapsulated. Encapsulation is a term when we're working on energies that we don't understand and that we need to get more information about what that energy is. And we don't know what its source comes from or how it's developing or manifesting or what the end result will be. So we encapsulate it. And then encapsulation is the process that Archangel Michael and the angels do when we come up against something like this. So they encapsulated the whole scene and put in a bubble of light and pushed it away, and I felt it like pop off of my energy field. And then I was meditating right after that, after I spoke with Robin a little bit about tonight and what we're going to discuss and the introduction and so forth. And I was sitting in my chair, and I felt somebody come into my room, and my dogs are outside, and they're playing like always, and then all of a sudden they got silent. So I sat in my chair, and I felt someone touching my knee and coming to say something to me. And as I was saying there, I just smiled. Because Archangel Michael always says, you know, when you're up against this kind of negativity, the first thing you do is you open your heart, and you keep your heart open. Because if you close your heart, that's a sign that they're intimidating you. So you keep your heart open, you keep smiling, he says. So I did, and as soon as I did that, that thing got pushed away, got pulled away from me again. So what we did, what we saw, was that there's a couple things. The first thing we saw was that when we went in and we tapped into her house was that there were some items buried on her land. So Archangel Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel went in, and they pulled out these items. It was four things. The first thing was an animal bone that was buried at the, it looks like it was buried probably underneath the front door where people walk in. A lot of times when we're doing work with the masters or in the classroom or doing channeling that night, I'll have Archangel Michael Ross, I'll put prayer ties over the door saying that whoever walks in this door, you know, the energy of this prayer is going to is taking and take off all the negativity so they don't enter here. Because I can't stand like an usher at the door and sage every single person that comes to the door, you know, especially if I'm busy with other people. So we put this prayer, these seven prayer ties over by the door that protects that. And then, so it was kind of, it resonated with me of why somebody would put that there. So somebody would have the same vision or the energy that they enter the room with. So the woman that there's a few things happening is that the Ouija board, regardless if who used it, I worked with these kids one time, and they were getting high, and they would use a Ouija board, and they called in these spirits, and the spirits were throwing plates and pillows and all this stuff, just making a mess in the house. So I went over there, and I felt that, and then my grandfather said, you know, you got to ask these questions. So I said, hey, you know, you guys using drugs, you know, meth, cocaine, what? And they said, well, yeah, we party. I said, well, if you guys use a Ouija board and you party, you guys are going to open up a portal you can't control. And I'm not going to keep coming back here, you know. And so what happens is that, you know, whether the Ouija board was created by the same symbolisms of all the other Ouija boards, regardless if they're being used or not. They're like a generating energy that opens up a portal. And a lot of mediumship, before they got the Ouija boards, then a lot of mediums, they would pull in these different energies, you know, to bring in, to curse people or to frighten people, you know, to, you know, just to actually put like almost an illusional energy around people so they see things that aren't really there, but they believe it to be. And sometimes, you know, a lot of people are psychic enough to where if they don't understand their psychic ability, sometimes that fear can draw in a negative spirit. You know, and then that psychic part of themselves, they're generating that part of themselves like a Ouija board. So that Ouija board firsthand needs to be burned, needs to get put out of there, buried. Usually burning is the best because then you get to free the spirit or the energy that's inside that how it was created and those symbols.
Right.
And if someone used it just one time and they didn't know what they're doing, Ouija boards, I don't even know how they were, I don't even know why they were created because they don't do anything that's really good because if you don't know what the heck you're doing, you know, you're going to cause a lot of damage, you know, especially if someone is using drugs.
Yeah, right.
Or not in a frame of mind.
And
that,
I told her that too. And she doesn't, she actually thinks it's in the I won't say the garage, but the barn or whatever it is there right now. She's not sure where it is in there, but I told her, well, if I come out, I will try to find it and I will seal it and then we'll get rid of it. And to me, you always have to close that portal. You got to close that session or close the portal, however you want to look at it, before you do anything else with it.
Exactly.
And then you can release whatever else it is that might still be. Try to send whatever it is that's there back through it, and then at least seal it, close it, and then get rid of it. So I got to see once that all happens, I got to see if, because she has no idea where it is. She thinks it's out there somewhere. She knows it's not in the house. But we got to try to find it. So that's one of the things.
Yeah. Another thing she can do is that, you know, a lot of medicine people, what they do for their houses, because we work, you know, when you work on somebody, you know, especially in that realm, and they're not happy about what you did, and maybe they didn't, they felt like they were entitled to something else other than what you gave them.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them will do things back to you, you know, to teach you a lesson because their ego or their, you know, their whatever their status is. And a lot of the medicine people will do this. They'll get rose water. They'll get rose petals, and they'll simmer them, you know, for about 8 or 9 minutes. And then they pray over that water because water listens to you. You know, you can have a glass, a jar with a bunch of words on it. It says beautiful, love you, and all this stuff. And that water will bless you with that, with those intentions. And so when you pray over the water, doesn't matter. You don't have to be Native American. You don't have to be Wicca. You don't have to be, you know, and for many, you just can have the intention to want to help, to heal, to care about something.
Yeah.
And that water will know you as long as you have sincerity in your heart. And you get rose water and you just patch, you know, you just blot it on your walls, you know, your floor, your walls, and you put that energy of that rose, because roses have a really high intensity vibration. And so that energy that you put into the walls, you create that, you know, you're putting a bone blessing in your home. And whenever you do something to create something beautiful, that momentum will draw more energy of that beauty to you. And so, you know, you're creating an energy. But the thing about it is that a lot of people don't know is that you can't let those spirits intimidate you. You got to keep your heart open. You got to, you know, you have to really force yourself to love what you're doing and not let those energies overcome you, or else, you know, you're just going to go fall back into that same place where you were.
That's right.
And what it feels like in that home. So what we started doing today is that we went in and we started dissolving all the conflict. The conflict on the land that was there before the people moved there, the conflict on the about that murderous person who went out and killed that person, and, you know, that details I'm probably not going to bring up.
Right.
And yeah, and we dissolve all that conflict, because what that does is that as soon as you remove the conflict of what had occurred, that old energy, it's old energy, so it can be removed that easy. Because when you think about history, you think about your experience in that history. And if you get triggered by that feeling, you know, that energy is still alive in you. So when we remove that trigger, that feeling can't keep coming back up again. So it doesn't have anything to build on. So what it does is that it leaves those spirits and that curse vulnerable to be relieved, to be distinguished, or extinguished. And so what we did was that we started dissolving all those energies, and what we found was that, you know, there's a portal right in the living room. Straight wreck, smack dab, and living in her house.
That does make a lot of sense to what you just
and
said.
And so, and
where
it's shaped as a backwards S. Yeah, it's as red as the energy that was in that dimensional vision that we saw, and that there's a portal that's open right in the center. So what she needs to do is that, you know, she has to put either roses or flowers or something beautiful in her home to lighten it up. Rose water, the other thing that we do is that we put, you know, and this goes back to Wiccan too, is that we put salt all the way around our house. And then we put tobacco. You make the prayer, because even if the wind blows the tobacco away, that prayer and that intention is still there.
What we did was that
we went into that land, and we talked to the spirits there that were on that land before those people put that house up. And we asked them for their support and what we were doing. And so they started coming forward and pushing that energy out. But there's like a wall there. There's like a wall between the left side of her house then the right side. And it feels like the wall is where whatever put that curse on there, that's where they were standing. So there's four items that they pulled away. They pulled away a piece of bone. They pulled away some kind of olive stick that represents like keeping negative energy in this particular home for the time that everyone comes there. Not just that lady. It has nothing to do with this lady at all. It has to do with that land and that home, whoever comes to that home. And so that energy is just like a beacon, and it just starts to draw in all this chaotic energy into that one field. So what we're going to do right now is that, you know, with your permission, Jack, I'm going to go ahead and send Archangel Michael to her house, and I'm just going to ask him just to give me a recon report about what they're doing now. And he says that a lot of the energy was based upon a lot of jealousy and anger. And the energy that was created in this home is like a black fire. And so there was somebody not only practicing witchcraft in her home, but also someplace from afar, that the two energies started to come together and it created this portal. So what we're going to do is that I'm going to ask Archangel Michael to go in and also Maitreya, and we're going to just kind of close up the portal. And then we're going to remove the portal and encapsulate it and then just take it out. It looks like a shrine almost, because when the light comes around this portal, it's been there for so long, it becomes like a statue. It becomes hard. And so it's like the curse is trying to say it's unbreakable. That's what it's saying. It's saying it's unbreakable. You can't break this. But since Archangel Michael is a little bit more powerful than any witch on planet Earth, you know, and he can pretty much do anything that he wants.
That's
so
great.
As we're doing that, we're just going to pull that energy. And just to let you know, there are like three entities stuck in Sandy's field. The first entity is a male, and he has he's a bald guy, has really big eyes. I'm not sure if his big eyes are like you know, if they're fake, because the way he's looking at her is like he's focusing on her, like looking at her as if she reminds him of somebody he knows. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to go ahead and bring in Archangel Michael and just pull him away and then cut the cords between her throat and her heart and her first chakra. And what that is that he's trying to make her suffer because there's some feeling about, there's a feeling there about some kind of torture or some kind of famine or and a memory of her ancestors that that caused famine to him or suffering to him or his family. And so, you know, and that, I know we're on the radio, but, you know, since I'm already into this already, I'm just going to keep going. So we're going to just gonna cut his ties to her and push them away. And the second one is a young girl whose father was an alcoholic, and she's very, very angry at her dad, but she blames her mom for not protecting her. So that energy is in her left side and on her hip area, on her left side. So we're going to pull her out too. We're going to just pull that out. And then as we're doing that, we're going to replace it, place her with light. And it looks like there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, and a lot of almost like hard to breathe in Sandy's chest. So what we're going to do is that I'm going to ask St. Germain to come in with Ganesh, and we're just going to start filling her up with an activational light of green into her heart chakra and around her chest and just pull all the energy down. I'm going to ask Mother Mary, can you put a grounding cord through her? So we're doing that right now and just bring that energy through. So, Jack, as I'm doing this, I want you to just think about that woman. Think about that house and detect what we're doing here.
I have been the whole time you've been doing it. So, yeah, I've been focused on her.
Can you feel the changes happening that we're doing?
Yeah, I actually can. Yeah, and I almost feel it in a way of somewhat anxiety. So, but that's good because it almost feels like it's being pulled away. So
yeah, we're pulling this away.
I get what you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, you know, when we can, you know, do this energy work, you know, what's so important here, okay, is to only relate to the changes that are occurring. If you can feel just a little positive energy that's happening through this work that we're doing right now with Sandy in this home,
right,
is that focus on that. Because your intention and your energy, and because you've been blessed, is that you can bring out that energy. You can make it from a little bitty dot into a huge light vortex for that woman because of your caring, you know, because you have good intentions to care for people about this. So, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's what I was trying to say. It's like almost like I feel things for her getting better, but it's you're like pulling it through, but it's pulling through me to wherever it's going. So it's like I'm almost end up being like the conduit for you need to feel this so you know you can feel what's happening on her end, so to speak.
Yeah,
right, for me. So that's what I'm feeling.
Okay, good. Robin, did you say something?
Well, a couple of things. You mentioned two of the objects, and I don't know if it's important as you continue to say what the other buried things are or if you'll flow with that. I just didn't want you to forget that you had mentioned that, Matthew.
Okay, thank you for that. Yeah, the first thing was a bone. The second thing was an olive stick and some kind of old, there was like something like the girl that's attached to the entity that's attached to Sandy too. The little girl, she had like a some kind of little car that her brother gave her a long time ago. So you have four items that were buried in the front door, the back door, the left side of the house, right side of the house. And so these things are like, you know, they're saying they're building this wall of light that this curse can't be cleared. So when the Raphael went in, he took all those things back. He just took them. He says they don't need these anymore. You know, so he took out those stationary energies, objects that are keeping that energy there. Because anybody who comes around the house is causing chaotic energy. So that chaotic energy, if those investigators went there, I'm not surprised that they didn't have anything worse happen to them. Because this kind of thing, I mean, you always feel from a distance first. You don't just go in there naked without any kind of protection. You know, you got to make sure that you send the – because this day and age right now, Jack – the energy of the light and dark is so intense right now. You know, we live in a very, very protected society until you get to the res, until you have these energies happening with these people. And so, you know, I'm just letting you know that, you know, this is a very, very good blessing that we're able to do this for you and to help Sandy. And it feels like this has been happening for a long time.
It's been going on for a very, very long time for her and her family, really, too. It hasn't. It's maybe culminated at this location, but
it started a long time ago when she was just a kid. And I think whatever it is, I think there was something very negative that was affecting her cousin that ended up, you know.
Yeah, I can speak to that a little later on, too, about the depth of that longevity in the family. Matthew, I'm seeing the little girl, and the little girl is trying to hand me the car or an image of the car, because I know you said it got removed, but I can see her clairvoyantly trying to give me the car. I just wanted you to
pick
up on that. What does she look like?
I'd say I'm very curious.
Maybe six. Looks like she's got on a little sweater that's short sleeved, not sleeveless, but short sleeved. She's got on a little skirt. Her hair is parted in the middle. It's dark. She's got dark eyes. Petite, pretty little thing.
Now, does she have two, like, pigtails?
Yes. Yeah, her hair's parted in the middle.
Yeah. All right, that's my, who I call my spirit guide. She's
Okay, then for some reason, she's smiling at me now.
I call her Lily for, I don't know why.
She's smiling and saying, yes, and she's saying something about her having the car, so I don't know if what she's trying, maybe what she's trying to say is that the car image that Matthew's working with is also a symbol or has something to do with a bigger picture. And I don't know what she means by any of that, but I feel that if she's your guide, maybe you know what she's saying, but she's still very strongly trying to get us to take a second look at this car.
All right, so take a look at it for her, but tell her I do not want her to keep it.
Okay, and I also think then that must be different than the little girl than that Matthew was seeing in Sandy, who had the little car.
Yes, it would be,
So I don't know what those two images mean in
unless
what's going
she was
on
there
here.
Lily might be there to try to help, especially when he started talking about the Archangel Michael. There's things about that. But that's who kind of, when I can read people, that's who's helping me read people.
Okay, well, now she's...
Don't ask me why.
Yeah, this little girl, Lily Spirit, with Archangel Michael standing behind her, is now tapping Matthew on his right shoulder, and now she's trying to give him the car, and she's saying to Matthew that he knows that it's Archangel Michael's job to protect the Divine Mother, and that that's going to lead into what I'm going to talk to a little bit later on. But and now she's like gently pushing me in the chest, like, okay, you've said what you needed to say. Now let's see what Matthew says.
There you go. So okay, so what I'm doing right now, as you guys are talking, I'm still working on Sandy. The third entity that's standing on her left is some kind of carny guy, worked in followed a carnival. Like working, you know, he worked at a circus in the 50s, where you can follow the carnivals and you can work like that. He's dressed and he has a striped shirt, and he also has almost looks like a fireman's jacket on, and he has his face painted, and he's wearing a pig nose, and so he's standing there and he's poking at his solar plexus or his stomach, and he's like making squishy sounds in her ears. To make it sound like, and she's listening to dead people or listening to death. And so this is a gnarly entity. So I need to just do this right now while you guys do talk about something else, because this is intense.
Okay.
This is affecting her heart, her brain, and her mental capacity to remember. And some of the things that she's losing is because the voices are so loud in her that she can't think about anything else. So it's blocking her. It's like it takes up all her energy to get these voices out of her head, and then she forgets things. So, and it's very, very dominant. So it looks like it's been with her for a while. So right now I'm just, go ahead, you guys talk. I'm going to go ahead and finish what I'm doing with her.
Okay.
I'm starting to feel some kind of sound coming through me, Jack. So I'm just going to let that flow. What I'm seeing now is your guide, Lily, is gathering baby spirits And this is what I was seeing earlier, is that it looked to me like this woman who people called the witch, that her mother, who was spiritual, went to, that the women in the area, if they had gotten pregnant and they didn't want to have a baby, or they didn't even want to get pregnant, that they could go to this woman, and she was very sophisticated at either ending a pregnancy or stopping a pregnancy, or she could curse like the generations or whatnot of a family. It seemed to be her expertise. And in that, you know, it wasn't like she would say, "Thy will be done." She would simply cast whatever she cast, or, you know, prescribe whatever she prescribed. So in doing so, there were a lot of deaths of very early on pregnancies. And any pregnancy, no matter how long it lasts, has a sole purpose and sole mission. And so a lot of these spirits were gathered there, and some of them are very angry, some of them are very confused. But that's why in the beginning I was guided to work with the flower essences to bring in sweet chestnut, star of Bethlehem, and willow to help these spirits who have that anguish of being stuck between worlds or feeling rejected. And a lot of the times these spirits were connected to the mothers. And now Lady Shasta's coming in, and she says, if you look at the worldwide web of how many thousands of years of pregnancies, or right after a pregnancy, if a baby was born and say it was female and that culture didn't want it, they'd kill it. They'd just, you know, whatever.
Snowstorm. But I find that I gotta interrupt you for just a second, because you directly hit on something that I didn't tell you about, that Sandy told me, with regards to the woman who lived next door to her grandmother. And that's part of what that woman used to do.
Oh, okay.
The witch. Okay. So yeah, you hit I mean, Sandy had told me that. They knew young women went to her to terminate pregnancies and things like that. And that's why her grandmother never liked the woman. So
that's what I got. I was going to tell you that. So you already knew. And so with Sandy,
I did, but that's a good validation, is my point. That's a great validation of what's going on, and that you picked up on that.
So when Sandy went with her mom to that lady, her mom was saying to that, she was confronting the woman. And so the woman turned around. And then she did something back. And then, like Matthew's finding, there's all these layers and tiers of things that are attached, and it just gets to be this whole wonky thing. And now not only do we see a correction coming through Sandy, who, by the way, I feel it is or was her sole purpose and sole mission to bring about this, so I'm sorry that she suffered, but I also feel that through the magic of synchronicity in her guides and guardian angels, it is bringing this out into the open for this huge wave of healing, not only for herself, but for others. And when Sandy turns around, I can see her wings on her back, and they look a little clipped, but they're there. And I feel she's just this really beautiful light that's, you know, absorbed all of this so that it could be seen and transmuted, so that we could all begin to understand. Yeah, there we go. Now the energy is really moving. So Matthew's cooking on something. Is there something else you want to share, Jack?
Yeah, I just finished.
Okay.
What we did was that when I was channeling through this Carney guy, I followed his origination of where he came from, and I saw the Wiccan lady, and so I confronted her, and I asked her, you know, you can't do this. This is not okay. You can't do this. This is not okay. You can't use your metaphysical awareness healing to cast these things. And she told me that she was scared, that she didn't want to do it at first, and that fear got entwined in her medicine, and it caused it to become negative, and it kept growing onto something bigger and accumulating. Mm-hmm. And so I had her go back to the light, and so she left. So her energy, that curse is now, I'm dizzy right now, which is a good sign, because all the energy is dissipating now. So that was a little bit of a challenge, but, you know, what it taught me was that, you know, like, just again, presentation isn't everything, you know, and there's a lot more going on here than just what the facts you got, you know. So
and that's what I was getting from Sandy talking to her. Yeah, there's a lot more going on than even she thought. Yeah.
Yeah. So She's that Wiccan lady, she's gone. She was actually in spirit, still making this curse there, you know. And so, yeah, they took her. So that's that. I'd be curious to find out, you know, if there's any residual energy or anything else that we didn't know about, you know, if you can maybe call her and find out how she's doing.
Well, I talk to Sandy usually once or twice a week at least anyway, so I'll be in touch with her this week anyway. Matter of fact, I'll probably, I might wait a day and give her a call on, or talk to her on Tuesday just to let, give a day for things to quiet down a little bit and then see, hey, did you notice anything happen on Sunday? Did anything happen with you on Sunday? That's what I do. I give some time for things to even out. And
yeah.
You know, let the energies level out, and then I'll talk to her. Or I may hear, who knows, I may hear from her tomorrow. That's always possible, too. It's just, she had some things picking up last week, and she had written to me about it, messaged me about it. And so, yeah, I like I said, I talk to her at least once, probably once a week, at least anyway. And, yeah, I will be checking in with her and see so much. And I will let you know. I will let you know.
And get rid of that Ouija board.
Yeah. If she knew where it was, I'd have her find it herself. I could ask her to have her daughter see if she can find it.
Two things here. Maybe we could have Matthew contact the spirits who are working with him to help bring to Sandy's memory where that is so she can find it and burn it. And also, before we close in this particular case, which I don't know if we're doing it right now, I do have a decree that I'm being guided to do. But is there any further conversation about this, Matthew, that you need to say?
No, I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to leave it lay. We did everything I was supposed to do by guided by spirit. So I'm just going to leave it alone and not mess with it.
Yeah. Okay. Then I do have something that I'm being guided by spirit to say, and I would like to thank you. So with the authority vested within me by Divine Mother and Heavenly Father, I call forth Sandy's higher self to be present to me now, and I ask for your permission that as I speak these words, I speak them for you, and she's giving me a yes. By divine decree, in the name of Mother, Father, God, I invoke the sacred violet flame to transmute in this moment every thought, link, alliance, connection, vow, allegiance, any energy that is considered dark or misaligned, any being, any energy, any object that I have made knowingly or unknowingly in this universe where this is not in accordance with the highest source of all creation in the divine plan for earth. By divine decree, in the name of Mother, Father, God, I invoke the sacred violet flame to transmute in this moment every thought, link, alliance, connection, vow, allegiance to any negative or misguided being, energy, or object that I have made knowingly or unknowingly in this universe where this is not in accordance with the highest source of all creation and the divine plan for earth. By divine decree, in the name of Mother, Father, God, I invoke the sacred violet flame to transmute in this moment every thought, link, alliance, connection, vow, allegiance to any negative or misaligned being, energy, or object that I have made knowingly or unknowingly in this universe where this is not in accordance with the higher source of all creation and the divine plan for earth. I see an angel going to Sandy's higher self, and it's giving her a scroll that's all wrapped up. And as Sandy is given this scroll, she unties it, she opens it, and in it is her soul contract that she agreed to help release this whole kind of story that we've been talking about that's influencing not only her in that land, but all of us in this earth. And she's being asked by this being who's saying that it's the overlighting diva of her karmic board for her soul agreements, that in this one, she put null and void on it and signed the bottom left-hand side. And I see Lady Nada from the comic board is signing the other side of that document. I see Lady Kuan Yin coming with golden scissors and giving them to Sandy that she can cut this document up, that it is over, it is done. And all the little pieces of that paper are falling into the violet flame that's in the palms of Saint Germain's hands. And I see some angels coming and placing a robe around Sandy's shoulder and a crown on her head and a staff in her hand and saying that it is time for her to remember who she is, that just became, because she came to be that which would address these misaligned, negative, darker frequencies, does not mean that that is who she is, that she came to be one who made a difference, and that for her to see who she is, to see in her own reflection the beauty of who she is. They're telling her now to reach down deep in her heart and pull out a mirror that is in there that isn't a reflection of herself and give it back to Lady Kuan Yin. And then Lady Kuan Yin is giving her a different mirror. It's her divine reflection. She's handing it to Sandy and putting it deep in her heart, that when Sandy looks in her heart from now on, she sees her own divine reflection. Lady Kuan Yin is turning to us and thanking us, all of us, those seen and unseen, in all realms, all dimensions, all archives, thanking us for joining together in unity consciousness to bring this blessing. And so, mote it be. Amen. And I'm seeing all the little baby spirits are giggling and laughing, and they're with little angels, and they're like on little clouds. And I can see your Lily, your spirit guide, and Archangel Michael. And I hear all is well, all is well. And then my energy is coming back more into my own quiet robin self. So I'm just going to make sure I'm tucked in and didn't take anything in with me. And actually, there is a little bit of sticky stuff on me, so I'm just going to take a moment. And I need to speak out loud about why. One is because I'm a woman who at 16 was told pretty much by my mom, as Matthew mentioned at the beginning, I had issues with my mom. She didn't teach me about birth control and how to be a woman. And so when I used an old condom from my boyfriend's Korean War trunk, the stupid thing popped, and I got pregnant, and my mom made me go have an abortion. So when a woman has an abortion, especially if she's young and she doesn't understand that you can't just take that from your body without acknowledging, you know, what this really is, it leaves an indelible mark in you. And so I offer that up to anyone listening, that we need to honor and respect that we have misused our sexuality, our ability to be moms and dads, and just acknowledge the release of that. We didn't know what we didn't know, now we do. Let's bring that into a different resonance. And also, as a woman who's been raped, when a woman has been raped psychically or physically, you still get that same type of kind of post-traumatic stress disorder reaction. And so when people are vulnerable to come to you, Jack, you're so tender with them, and Matthew and myself, it is very important that we do this, because as anybody who studied any of this knows, that if you've been raped, whether it's physically or psychically, it can be even worse to your psyche if you tell someone about it after and they don't listen to you or hold space for you. And so,
and that's exactly right.
Yeah, so let's bring in a resonance of healing for that. There we go. I can really feel that. Okay, and now my energy.
I'd like to say something just about that if I can, too.
Yes.
Because one thing I have found, and that's one thing I always suggest, and we always tell any client we talk to, be totally open and honest. And they usually are, because that's how we can better help you. And one of the things we do usually try to do is
usually if they tell us something like that, I will ask, have you done anything to deal with that? Have you talked to any professional about it? Have you gone to somebody? And, you know, and they usually say no. And it's like, that's part of what you have to do to resolve these issues. Because I have noticed spirit energy is attracted to negative energy. Some spirit energy is, right? Very attractive. And that's what causes the turmoil. And many negative spirits are attracted to that type of negative energy, you know, that stuff you're hanging on to, that you won't let go. So they almost seem to be drawn to it. Part of what we do to help with that healing process is try to get them pointed in the right direction to, as you just said, heal from that. You'll never forget it. You won't get over it, but you can heal from it and you can come to some type of terms with it. And acknowledge it, and don't let it rule your life.
Well, this is very, very interesting because we certainly didn't know that this was going to happen in this particular show. But Matthew and I have defined, as we've, you know, figured out what our plan is of how we want to serve people. And basically, he has shown his heart desire is to help people who have dropped their bodies and get stuck between worlds. And my specialty is to be of service as the metaphysical mother, which is to help women who have had abortions, miscarriages, lost children for one reason or another, as well as help babies come in that are, you know, are really truly consciously conceived so that their DNA, all the beauty of them is assembled and activated so they have a chance to come in and resonate right. and be held in such integrity and beauty. So it's fascinating that that's what this show, without even organizing it, as Matthew said, we like to be very organic, but this is stunning
right.
that you're saying this, Jack, because I want to be known as the metaphysical mom, and he's you know, obviously an expert along with you at doing the type of work that you two are doing.
Right.
So this is just
which
beautiful.
Is healers. I mean, we're
as
just
healers.
Trying to really, realistically be healers, trying
yeah.
to help people heal from whatever they're going through. And you're also trying to help heal spirit, too, because
mm-hmm,
these spirits
exactly.
have to move on to the right places, and they have to go to the right places. Sometimes they're very adamant, they don't want to go, they'd rather just still continue to cause turmoil, and you got to force them, drag them out of there. So it happens, but you're still in the end hopefully that forcing them to go, I can only hope that it heals them too, because you're dragged to the right place by the right individuals, Archangel Michael as well, you know, and all those. So you know, we try to do what we can for them. I try to do it, and I think you guys do the same thing. This is not an exorcism. It's a quiet way of trying to just, hey, it's time to go. You don't need to cause these problems anymore, you know, and put them out quietly without creating a lot of turmoil in the
past. Yeah,
I mean, that's my approach to things. Don't cause more turmoil. And don't try to say everything is demonic or evil. It's not. It has its own way of looking at things. Sometimes it is, but that's rare. Mostly it's misunderstood and it's upset, or it's these spirits are they have their own issues they have never dealt with. So you have to help them move along too, in as little as an antagonistic way as possible. You know, to me that makes it easy on everybody. It makes it easy all the way around. It makes it easy for the client, for the spirit. But it's also a healing process, and I think that's what we all agree to. That's what we try to do, is help people heal, and that will resolve the problems other ways, too. So I'll let you guys talk again.
That's okay. That's good. It's good to hear. It's refreshing to hear it from another individual, you know, because we've been saying it for so long, you know, and I'm, you know, and just to clear, I'm no expert. You know, Robin, I love you, and I've learned more from my failures than my successes, and I think I just, you know, I have in the past I've sat on the bench, and I don't like sitting on the bench. I want to be in the game. I want to be catching touchdowns. I want to be catching you know, I want to be able to be out there and catch interceptions, and you know, and to make a difference. And sometimes the difference we make isn't well known. You know, a lot of it has happened behind doors or with individuals that we don't always bring out unless it's a really special case. So, you know, bless you, Jack, in what you're doing and how you're doing it. And it sounds like you have a straight conscious integrity about what you're working with. And I really appreciate you coming on the show today and really expressing yourself in this manner. Yeah, and, you know, and I'd like to be able to have you back on and maybe do the other case file. I was looking at just briefly, you know, about the young lady who has issues with all the stuff. And that's another thing that we can do. Mm-hmm. Those types of things, they seem impossible, but they're really not. You know, it's just being able to look within past the presentation into the layers of illusion and then find the origination. And there's a whole story behind it, you know. And I think what I'm going to do is just, you've inspired me today to maybe start writing down these stories and putting them in a file, you know, so I have things to look back on about what we discovered and what was the presentation. So, because a lot of these, files, these case files, they seem very similar in a lot of different ways, you know. Just talk about people. About different people's personalities and perspectives.
You start to find you start to find the common thread.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a common thread in many of them. There may be more than one, but that's what I've by documenting the things the way I do it, and you start to find that there's a common thread with most of these hauntings and these people experiencing these things, and it's there. And many times, like Robin, you're talking about, it has to do with abuse that took place earlier on. And again, I believe just the negative spirit is drawn to that negative energy that people haven't dealt with yet. You know, in this particular case, with this woman in Missouri, she didn't have any of those issues, but there was something else going on there, you know. There was other things, but it led to the woman, the witch that we talked about, who was doing that type of stuff to women who would come to her. So it still led back to something that was, again, a common denominator. I'd come back anytime you guys want me to. I'd be very happy to, and I actually even have somebody else that it's a case I've already worked on and stuff, but I know he's still dealing with things, and I'm probably going to give you some information on that, and maybe you can help him out a little bit more than even I could. But that's what we're all into, this together, to work together.
Yeah.
To use our each is.
I only
know,
have one word.
Just,
my Go saying, ahead. Bring it, bring it. You know, bring it. That's what I'm here for. Bring it.
Yeah. Well,
so
we're here to help.
We have about 2 minutes and a half to go on our show today.
Right.
So if people want to hear about your shows, where do they go, Jack?
Well, actually, anything you want to contact me for, whether you want to look up information on the shows or you want to contact us because you need some assistance or you want to talk to me or have a question, go to spiritsofnewengland.org. And you can contact us through our website there. That's spiritsofnewengland.org. Or you can also email us at that same spiritsofnewengland.org@gmail.com. And if it's just a question, we'll be glad to answer it. If you have something else, we'll talk about it. So that's where the best place to reach us at.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Jack. And thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew, and I do like to be an advocate for him. Make sure you call him for a session and take the classes with Matthew. He's awesome. We have 2 spots left in the Mystic Radio Institute class, so come book it at in robinalexis.com in the Mystic Store. Matthew's awesome.
So, again, just like to say thank you to Robin and Jack for coming on the show again here today with us. And also I'd like to thank Archangel Michael and all the angels and all the masters and all our ancestors and all the medicine people who watch over us and bring us good tidings and help us to really, you know, teach us to be kind to one another in this Christmas time and not always just thinking about ourselves, but to be able to think about others this time of year. So thank you again all for listening here to our show, and hopefully this has helped you in some way, in some educational manner. And also, if you want to get a hold of Jack, he just gave you the information. So we say thank you again, and we look forward to having you do our next show. Is it next Sunday, Robin, or are we
January 8th, and we will be communicating with Maura Murray once again, looking at that cold case. And then the following week on the 15th, we're speaking with Tree Communication. And then it sounds like we're going to have Jack back on and do some more work with Destination America.
Anytime.
Two shows, Paranormal Survivor and Haunted Case Files. Thank you. Love you. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
You too. Happy holidays.
Blessings, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.